Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
If you don't understand what God is doing and why he is doing it, and if it feels unfair and it seems unfair, just draw near to God and keep trusting him.
In this lesson, Pastor Neil emphasizes the importance of being intentional in our faith walk. This means consciously choosing to live by faith every day. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that comes by faith from start to finish, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." However, many people desire to walk by faith, but sometimes lack the strength to obey God, because their circumstances may make it seem as though God is unjust. How can we ensure that we can always have the strength to walk by faith at all times? Let's listen to Pastor Neil.
So we're going to talk today. It will be a second installment of our lesson on being intentional, and we will talk about be intentional about life. And today our focus is on faith, all right? We have established that to be intentional means to do something on purpose. You have to do it deliberately. Having good intentions is good, but good intentions do not translate to success. Whenever you have good intentions, you must do some things on purpose to actually see things happen. Amen. We serve a God who is intentional by everything he does. So we, his children, must also learn to be what? In life, you can drift along, let circumstances determine how you live. Or you could decide that you will take circumstances literally by its throat and make decisions that override the circumstances for you to see the hand of God in your life. Amen. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just reviewing from our last lesson. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, reading from the Amplified Bible. The scripture says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely." Everybody say, "Live purposely." Underline that statement. Live purposely. Intention is living on purpose or deliberately. It says, "Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and reckless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague." In other words, be intentional. God's word is reminding us that the child of God ought to learn to do that. "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." So in our last lesson, I did mention that we are going to learn how to be intentional in seven areas. Number one is in our faith. Secondly, in our family life. If you are only just waking up and your kids going to bed and there's no training, they will not end up where you want them to be. You have to be intentional about the family life as well. Amen? You want to raise kids who pray, it means you must pray and you must lead them to pray. Else they will not get there. They don't just get there by osmosis. It's not something that you bump into and you start a daydreaming. You have to make some choices on purpose. Amen? Prayer for kids as raised up by parents who are intentional. If you don't, the world will train them for you. So in our faith, in our families, we have to be intentional. Then we say that we have to be intentional in our finances. We have to be intentional in our health. Don't eat anything that comes and pray Satan away. You'll be sick. Amen? Be careful what you... Talk to me. Be careful what you... We have to be intentional in our relationships, because sometimes there are relationships in your life to help you to make it. And you don't like those people simply because sometimes they get you on your nerves. But the only reason they get you on your nerves is that you need to get better. So we have to learn. And I will deal with all those things. You have to be intentional in your career. You can't just walk through any career for anyhow. You must be cautious where you are and how you go about it. Then finally, we said you must be intentional in your use of time. Today, I want to look at intentionality in the area of our faith, of our faith. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Be intentional about your faith. To be intentional about faith simply means embracing faith as a lifestyle. You must learn to embrace faith as what? A lifestyle, not something you do every once in a while. It is choosing to live in faith on purpose daily, deliberately, always making sure that you are walking by faith. In life, we have several choices. Number one, we have the choice to live by rationalism. Rationalism simply means you are so intellectual, you are very good at it. And because of that, you think that anybody who walks by faith is stupid. You tell people you have to use your brains. This is common sense. Truth is that there are things you walk by common sense. But there are some things you cannot walk by common sense. You must walk by faith. And everybody said amen. Amen. I've often heard many Christians saying, oh, the way you have to be real. And sometimes when people say you have to be real, I don't know what they mean. Let me illustrate something to you. Somebody bring me a chair. Somebody bring me a chair. Because we need to challenge you to be Christians. We can't do it halfway. If I ask you to sit on this chair, would you sit on it? Yes. You're 100% sure?
Yes.
So take a seat. Don't worry, I won't pull it. Now, I wanted you to have a conversation with me. Why did you believe, because you did, that this chair can hold your weight?
Yeah, because I've sat on it before and it held my weight, so.
You sat on it before. So he's talking about the fact that he's put his, see, we put our confidence in a lot of things. You sit in your car, you believe the manufacturer did the right thing. But when we have to put our faith in the word of God, it becomes an issue for us. Thank you, my brother. It becomes an issue for us. That is how you know the enemy is at work. Because we are putting our faith in a lot of things. Even the shoes you wear. How do you know it won't come off your feet? I've often heard people say faith is not real. No. We live in this entire world and you are always placing your faith in something. Why do you vote for the people you vote for? Because you have faith that they will be able to do something. So please do not spare me that. I don't know why this evil world, but their eyes are blinded, so we have to be patient with them. We are so good at facts. We know how it's going to work out. TikTok told us. Just use your common sense. No, you must learn how to live by faith because you are doing it every day. How do you know that the dress you put on this morning won't come off? You put your faith and confidence in it. And you've put it into the designer of the dress. So we are putting our faith in something every single day. What I'm saying to you this morning is that it is time to put our faith in the Word of God. Because we're putting it somewhere anyway. And so in life, we have the choice to live by rationalism. Everybody say rationalism. Or we can also live by what I call ritualism. What it simply means is that religious routine. There are people who don't walk by faith. They come to church, read the Bible, sing a few songs, sit down, get up, pray, go home. That's enough. No, if you do that, you will never experience God. You must live beyond that. Amen? Or we live by emotionalism. There are people when they come to church, hallelujah! I'm not saying there's something wrong with hallelujah. But if that's all there is to it, we need to work on it. I said we need to what? Work on it. Or you can choose to live by faith. Faith is simply believing what God has said without any physical evidence. Any physical evidence. And so the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 7th verse says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now let's ask a question. Why be intentional about our faith? Why is it that we want to be intentional about faith? Because the scripture says, the just shall live by. So it's a command. God's word teaches us that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17 says that, for in the gospel of righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith and from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by what? Faith. All right. We have to live by faith intentionally because promises are received by faith. Not because the scripture only declares that the just shall live by faith, but because promises are received by faith. Thirdly, because pleasing God is accomplished by faith. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So using your common sense, you will not please God. It's as simple as that. All right? So we live by faith intentionally because the scripture says the just will live by faith. Secondly, because promises are received by faith. And then thirdly, because pleasing God can only be accomplished by faith. Fourthly, problems are resolved by faith. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Mark 11:23, Jesus is speaking and he says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, and he was looking physically at a mountain. So Jesus was not spiritualizing. He was looking at a physical mountain. And then he was telling his disciples, if you will say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart. Please underline that phrase, doubt in the heart. But believes that what they say will happen, it will happen for them. Amen. So Jesus then underscores that the real issue is not our faith. It is the doubt in the heart. That is the issue. And so we need to walk by faith intentionally because the scripture commands that the just shall live by and promises are received by. Romans chapter 4 verse 16 teaches us a very important principle. It says, therefore the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. And may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. And that includes you. All right? That includes every single one of us. Hebrews chapter 6, look at the 12th verse, because this one is very, very important. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through what? And inherit the. If you want to walk by faith, you must learn to be patient. We know we live in a day, everything is touch button. And so that's why we think faith is not important. So I must be intentional in my faith because the just shall live by faith. Promises are received by faith. Pleasing God is accomplished by faith. Problems are resolved by faith. Let me also add that your potential will be reached by faith. Provisions are realized by faith. Predators are rebuked by faith. Power is released by faith. Plagues are removed by faith. Do I need to go over it? Go and listen again. Mark chapter 9. I want you to work at the word of God. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Read with me if you can. Shall we, everybody? Go. If you can, says Jesus, how many things are possible? Come on, talk to me. How many things are possible? Everything is possible. Your potential is reached by faith. Provisions are realized by faith. Predators, talking about satanic powers, they are rebuked by faith. The power of God is released by faith. And if there is a plague, it will be removed by faith. And today, I want you to stand up on the inside of you as a person who says, by faith, this thing will not stand. We give too much credit to Satan. By faith, declare it, and it shall be done. The choice to live by faith does not come automatically. Say that with me. The choice to live by faith does not come. It will not happen by itself. You have to choose to live by faith moment by moment. It is not going to happen on its own. Did you hear that? And so whenever problem strikes, you will do one of a few things. Please write it down. Cry a little and worry only a little. Because you're human, so you will cry. And you will worry, but just a little. And after that, I want you to learn how to take charge. Stand up on the inside of you and release your faith or exercise your faith, which I will teach you today. And believe God until you see it happen. There are some things I'm seeing happen in this church right now that I started believing many, many, many years ago. And there were people who laughed at it, but today they can't laugh at it. If you can hang in with God, you will see it. Are you understanding me? Those who walk by faith, they see it. Everybody turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. It is H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. Habakkuk. And I want to talk you through the story of Habakkuk because this was one prophet who had a problem with God about faith. He is struggling about what I call the fairness of God, if God is fair. Has anybody ever been there? Because he was one of the prophets who ministered to God's people just before they were taken into exile in Babylon. And he saw that God was using the unrighteous people to judge the righteous. How's that? And in it, what he saw was that the unrighteous were making it. In fact, they have more money, they have houses, they have stuff. And those who were the people of God were suffering. So the prophet had some questions on his mind. And he was trying to understand, why is God allowing this to happen? We are supposed to be God's people. He's wondering why God's people are crying out, praying, fasting, doing everything, but God is silent. Anybody here who can? Come on, anybody here who can identify with that? Yeah, some of you will never raise your hands because everything, you stay on the same plane. But I know you are struggling with that. And so the prophet Habakkuk is wondering, how in the world can God do a thing like that? So it's as if God is not fair. He's not fair. And I am going to go through the whole of Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, in a few minutes. Are you ready to go with me? Because it helps you to gain an understanding of how to be intentional in your faith. Now, if you look at the early verses, read with me from chapter 1, verse 4. Because in chapter 1, he's complaining that, God, how in the world are you using the Chaldeans to punish your people? And he has an issue with that. And in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 4, the Amplified says it this way. Therefore, the law is slackened, and justice and righteous sentence never go forth. For the hostility of the wicked surrounds the uncompromisingly righteous. Therefore, justice goes forth perverted. Let me explain. Do you realize that when you pray and fast and follow the word of God and you find the opposite happen, but the people who don't do any of that, they tend to receive what you are praying for, even though they are not praying for. It is as if that the law of God has been made of none what? Effect. That's what he's saying in verse 4. He says, your law, when people look at the Bible, they think it doesn't work. This is the prophet speaking here. He said, because whenever he sees it, it is as if that people are scoffing, they are laughing. Where is this God you are talking about? Because we don't do what you do. Yet we receive what you are praying for. And even though you are praying for it, you can see it. Can anybody see themselves in the book of Habakkuk here? And so the prophet goes to God in prayer in his complaining. Starting from, I think, verse 5, God gives him an answer. And in fact, if you read that, God's answer is very annoying. Let's just be honest with the scriptures. God begins by saying, hey, I'm about to do a new thing. This thing is going to be wonderful. And when you see it, you will wonder. What is it that he's going to do? And he says, I will use the Chaldeans to punish you. You understand why I said it's annoying? So God is doubling down. He's not back enough. He's saying, no, I am still going to deal with my people this way, even though they're asking me to do something for them. So the prophet is like, God, I don't get it. Look there with me, verse 13. Now, chapter 1, verse 13. Now he's praying a second prayer and he's complaining again. God, I don't get this whole. This whole thing you are doing, it doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to you, anybody in the house? Yeah, because we all like sense. That's all we like, sense. He says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent? Why the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Do you want to listen to God's answer? This time he's not annoying, but he said something. This is where we get the favorite verse that for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What is he saying? He says, in the midst of your complaint, I am going to reveal some things to you. You see, when we are so focused on our issues and we forget God, we often tend not to hear what he's saying or what he's revealing. So he says, all right, if you are doubting me, I want you to write down what I am showing you. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. He says, it will not be destroyed. It will speak at the end of it. Then the next verse, he tells him, listen, when it looks as if I am not fair, trust me. So the next verse says, the just shall live by. That's where those words came from. That is the context in which he's speaking it. The context in which he's speaking it is that you, as a child of God, realizes that it seems as if God is not being fair. Then he says, no, don't worry. Draw close to me. Trust me, because I will get you to the end. This God is something else. Please write this statement down. And I learned it many, many years ago, that if you don't understand what God is doing, and why he is doing it, and if it feels unfair, and it seems unfair, just draw near to God and keep trusting him. Because the usual thing is, we quit church, we stop praying, we decide not to trust him. And God, through the prophet, is saying, it doesn't matter how you feel, trust me, put your confidence in me, for the just shall live by. In fact, I think it's the NIV says, the just shall live by faith and in his faithfulness. In other words, the person will put their trust and their confidence in God's faithfulness. Amen. It is important. So after God gave him that answer, if you were Habakkuk, what would you say? Because the problem is still not solved. It's still where it is. He sees that the unrighteous are making it. Let's just be honest. Any Bilonia in this room? Okay. Now, I know you are all Bilonias by faith. Any Bilonia right now? We are Bilonias by faith. Any Bilonias by faith? That one, two people won't raise their hands. People, don't worry. I am not talking by faith. Even though we are going to talk about faith, it's an oxymoron. In other words, the prophet kept looking and said, God, when I look at the other people, they seem to be prospering. They seem to be doing better. And God is saying, never ever compare yourself with them. Because salvation can never be equated with money. And if they die today, not a dime will be put in their casket. And Lazarus, in the book of Luke chapter 16, the one who was at the table of the rich man ended up in a place that the rich man could not be. He's saying that take your eyes off earthly things right now and put your eyes on who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me ask everybody a question. The disciples of Jesus, how many of them had money? Matthew left it. He left the money and came to follow Jesus when he left the IRS. Back. Judas was holding only Jesus' bag. What I'm trying to show you is that today we preach a gospel and center everything around money and material wealth. This is not what the gospel is about. Because those who followed Jesus originally did not follow him because of money. Else, Sons of Zebedee Incorporated, which composed of Peter and his friends who were fishermen, they already had their money. And if you notice, when they followed Jesus, it was because the guy could say, put the net over there, and they caught fish. So I can see them interpreting in their heads, yay, man, we got a good business partner. Let's follow him. And the more they followed Jesus, they realized they were not making money. And that is why they got to a place and they asked him, we have left everything and come to follow you. What will we get? I am not saying live a life of poverty, but I am saying that do not put your hope and your confidence in money, because we'll live it here. If we have enough, there are a lot of things we could do. But it does not become the basis of your faith. And this is the lesson God is teaching the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk, you are looking at the people in terms of what they have now. Can you look at who they will be in the future? Because you are my people, and I will bring you into my fold. And he's shifting their focus, and he's bringing them there. So go with me to chapter 3. Now Habakkuk listens, he hears it, and now his concept is changed. Look at verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 3. Right, verse 1 and then verse 2. He says, Habakkuk now begins to pray and says in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard your speech. Do I need to wait for you? He says, O Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our days, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, go all the way to the last few verses. I told you we'll run to the book very fast. Look at verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3. Are you there? What does he say? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall. Pause. He talks about the fig tree that's not bud. He talks about grapes. He talks about the olive crop. And then he talks about no food. So everything that makes them economically viable is that if those things don't come up the way it's supposed to do, look at verse 18. What happens? Read with me. Yet. Pause. He's recognizing the fact that some things don't work out. They are God's people. They have prayed. They have sought his face. They have done what they're supposed to do. Yet, some things are not happening. So what are you supposed to do? He says, read with me. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. So Habakkuk is saying, after I complained to God and had a chat with God, God did not exchange emails with him. Notice that. And God did not explain to him why the righteous were not making it in the world the way the other people were making it. It will remain a mystery till we get to heaven. Why God chooses the righteous to suffer and then the unrighteous will make money? Because sometimes he needs to remind us that his blessings has nothing to do with a house and a car. The real blessing is your salvation.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.